The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Barrington Awaken with your host Barrington right here on Reality Radio 101. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best with a path to a higher consciousness. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, right to your host of Barrington Awaken, Barrington.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Barrington Awaken. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful day. We're finally starting to get some winter-like weather up here. We haven't had it for a few weeks. We're having plus above 0 degrees anyways, and it's not typical for this time of the year. So now we're back in the full swing of things. I'm not calling on it. I'm not calling it in. It is just here. Welcome to Barrington Awaken. Thank you for being there. This show, we talk about raising you to a higher level of consciousness, waking you up and teaching you how to live your best self, how to be the better you. How to walk around with your head held high and feeling happy all the time. For you to be able to look at you and say, I am proud of me. This is fine. This is life. This is how we should live. And it's usually done without fear. We teach you to get to a higher level of consciousness, to wake up, be happy all the time. Live as if you are the top shelf. Move about because you are God and you need to know that. Wake up to your reality. This is how we connect ourselves to spirituality. This is how we connect ourselves to all things that are great. This is how we teach ourselves to live to the best of our abilities. All the tools that's required to make this awesome life. And it does sound awesome because you're probably unfamiliar with it. To get into the idea of this or to find the tool that's going to wake up that part of you exists in you becoming spiritually connected, you being a part of a spiritual existence. You are wired and connected to all that there is, the great wave. At the same time, let you know we're all connected. We're all the same. We've come from the same place by the same method. Nobody has taken a special trip or journey or vessel to come here. We've all showed up. The only way we could be here in the human being form to be humans is to have come the way you showed up, the way I showed up, and everybody else. And when we leave pretty much the same way, same method. We go back to a spiritual world. We want you to wake up to that reality for you to understand, regardless of what you may have been told or what is being told, you're hearing all this time that there is a special place other than this one with the human beings living well, holding hands, singing songs, saying kumbaya and having milk and honey. It is not possible. Just to let you know, the only place to go is here, and we're here. And when you leave this world, you leave this body. When you leave this body, you return to an existence, spiritual existence that doesn't have the physicality, doesn't have the touch, human being portion of it. To be human, you show up and you assume a body. Now, you're human being. Is there an entity living among us that is not human being-like? not animals, other life forms, unphysical that you could see? Probably not. Is there such a thing as black magic, voodoo, all those other evil things? No. Is there a guy with a girl that lives down there somewhere with pointy horns on his head or her head or her tail and calls the name, answer to the name, the devil? No. We created that. Is it real? No. Can he come and get you? No. However, we human beings do evil things to each other. Why? Simply because we're able to create thoughts and we're able to touch and feel and move and all these things. And physically, because we have a body, once you rid yourself or the body goes away because it's too old, broken, or probably diseased, it goes away. Believe it or not, those evilest ideas, thoughts, everything goes with the body. When you go on the other side, you'll be best friends with everybody else who's on this planet, regardless of which term, which journey, which path you have taken. We've come in the same way. Again, we're going to go out the same way. Thank you for being a part of the show. I appreciate this. Usually I do a monologue and explain to everybody typically what we're going to talk about. Today, we're going to say, I want you to be able to say, I am proud of me. Proud of me. That's the you, not the me. You are proud of yourself. Look in the mirror and tell yourself, I am proud of me. That's what we want to talk about today. And how do you get there to acknowledge the greatness that you are? Well, we talk about waking up and bringing yourself to a higher level of consciousness. And at that moment, you will realize the greatness that you are. Until then, we travel around in a cloud state of mind, zombie-ish state of mind, because we're afraid. And fear is the root, in my opinion, to all evil. They're best friends with stress. And stress, as you know, is the root to all of our illnesses. So we're talking about waking up. Be realized. Waking up. Lighten your load. Seek happiness. Open the door to happiness. It's already there. Wake up to the reality that could be yours. And the way this is done is acknowledging the fact that you know yourself. You know who you are. You find yourself. Wake up to that reality. When we talk about spirituality, we talk about connecting yourselves to all that there is, the be-all and end-all, to live off the land as it was intended, and not to go in the back and plant potatoes and try to feed your three children. That won't work, not where I live. Anyway, it means to be able to be spiritually connected to all that there is. The life that exists here, we did come with instructions as how to live it. We lost the method in which to open the library to get the information, to get the instructions on how to live the life. So to get to the library or the bulk of information, it's within you, but you need to understand in order to access that, you need to be connected to your spirituality, listen to your gut feelings, follow your let's say, prescriptions from nature's rule for you. You will know your purpose, and you should. You will know yourself, as you should. You will open your eyes. Your third eye, we're not going to talk about that one today. It's very deep, but your third eye will open and you will acknowledge your purpose. Wake up to that reality. Thank you, everybody, for coming to the show. Thank you for being here this beautiful day we're experiencing. We're alive, we're happy, we're doing well. I want to thank everybody from all around the world who's listening, as well as all the old-time, long-term listeners and people who are coming on brand new. I thank you, every single one of you, for joining the show today. Welcome, everybody, and most certainly, welcome home. Welcome home means you have found your path to spirituality and you have found the gate open so you could get in there. Explore all that life has to offer. Home is where your heart is, and that's where you should be. I say welcome home to everybody because we were once exposed to spirituality, every single one of us, from day one, maybe the day of birth or before that, until we've come here, and how we were raised usually leads us away from what was supposed to be the path that we take to life. The plants that exist on this planet, they're here to treat us and take care of us and be the medicine, even though, as well as being the food. We've lost that ability to do that, or it was taken away from us. We're not exposed to the natural way of taking care of ourselves anymore. We rely on something from a bottle as opposed to something from the trees or the root or the water or somewhere else. We have to learn how to live with that because it has become our reality. Oh well, sucks to be that, but it is what it is. And as I like to say, the earth is what it is today. It's not what you expect it to be. How do we get past our fear? Why do we fear? You see, being afraid, you are limiting yourself, your life. And all that we're afraid of is the unknown. The things that we're afraid of is the unknown. I'd like to say, take all the fears you've had in the past that has been realized today and apply it to the ones that's in the front of you for tomorrow. And you'll see there's nothing to worry about, because 90% or more of the things that we worried about yesterday or in our younger years, we've gone past it and we're still here. So take that solution or the ability to come up with the answer and apply all of that to the fears that you have now for the things that exist in your future that you may be afraid of. And you'll realize there's no need to sweat the small stuff. And when you dig into it real deep, you'll realize it's all relatively small stuff. We're only afraid of the unknown. And all of that is a very useless emotion, much like regret, but we're not talking about that today. We're just afraid of the unknown. We've learned it somewhere because we didn't show up with it along the journey. Maybe we saw it in a movie, or we heard it from a friend, or read it in the paper. We're not going to say that. It's too political. But what we can say is that you weren't always afraid. And somehow through life, we've developed or picked up this bad habit, and we carry it. And like I said, the fear is best friends with your stress. And those two together will limit the way you're living, or the way you should live your life. Wake up. And realize, again, you're only afraid of the unknown. You shouldn't fear dying. Dying is at the elbow every day. But you could put it aside. It's an acquaintance. Eventually, you will team up. But in the meantime, you are to put it aside and choose life. Just choose to live and be happy. And when it's time, then you could make better friends with that. And dying should never be something you fear, because we don't die. We lay the body down because it's gotten too old, won't journey anymore, like our old cars. So we lay them aside, take it to the scrapyard or funeral home, same thing. And you will resume after that life and continue with a new life. We don't die. We're rebirth, rejuvenate. You take an ice cube or a cup of water, let's say, out of the ocean, and you bring it home and use it to wash your hand. You could bet your bottom dollar that same glass of water is going to make its way back to its original source. A cup of water, glass of water, ice cube. You take an ice cube out and throw it in the desert, it's going to make it back to its way back to its original source. When we tap into the human form and become body, eventually that spiritual side of us makes it back to its original source. Indestructible, we're an energy, right? So there is no dying. Let's not be afraid of that. It's the unknown that you're afraid of, and you could learn not to even consider it or try to be afraid of it. Now, I had a call last week on the show. A gentleman says, his name was Mike, that he usually get to feel good when he listens to the Barrington Awakened show, and last week he was feeling not so happy about it, and I wanted to say that, and I did say right away, you got to take the bad and the good, the crooked with the straight. That's part of life, the up and the down, the yin and the yang. But you have to understand, the things that frightens us the most, we technically don't know much about it. We call it the unknown, and we don't know how it's going to turn around, how it's going to impact our lives. So do not waste a lot of your time being afraid. Stand up and understand that you have this wonderful opportunity to live many years on this planet and be tolerant among a lot of other people. And you were chosen special. Of the millions that started the journey, you are the one that's here. Some didn't make it make it to birth. The billions or the millions, but you are special. So you're unique that way. Let's not spend the time here being afraid to try things, to venture out, to step out there. Put it in front of you, move towards it. You'll find that things that you fear the most is very small. And as you run towards it, it runs away from you. Eventually, it disappears. To waste our time, it is just wasting our very, very, very expensive currency, the time we have here. You mustn't look at your life as an expectation. It is the life. It's like being. You have to exist. It's not an expectation. You do. You understand. You follow. You live life. Don't exist. You must live. You've come here for that purpose. And I say this all the time. Don't allow your ship to be guided by the waves. Do not let the current carry you, because those waves are temporal. The things that frightens you the most, they're the waves I'm referring to. Do not make your life, your ship, be guided by the waves, because they're temporal. They will go away. Smooth sailing will resume soon enough, one day. At maybe sometime, to avoid the big crash, you may have to put yourself in line with it. But again, the waves are temporal and the currents are forever changing. So don't assume what you go through now may be everlasting. Do not allow the current to guide your ship. Do not allow the waves to guide your ship. The current is always changing. And the waves are always temporal. What am I talking about? Whatever trouble you find yourself in or difficult spot that you may be in that may just freeze you and you can't figure out how to tolerate, get through, put up, cope with. Remember, this too shall pass. It is not this way. It's a phase. And you're probably keeping yourself in that mode, frame of mind, that phase by the thoughts you're carrying. If you're not feeling fantastic about you, you are in a temporal position. Again, you're going through the turbulence of the water, the waves. This too shall pass. You have to know that. Wake up. You don't want to spend the time that you're here sleeping. You need some sleep, but I'm trying to say, wake up. Wake up. It is important. Do not expect this turbulence and this bad portion that you go through to be the long term. You need to wake up. We're going to hold it there for a little bit, and I hope my message has gotten through to all of you that you need to understand it's a new year. You make the choices. This is where you plant, and when you do careful planting, inevitably you shall reap, and this is the intent. So it's a brand new year. Let's kick it off the right way and do things positive. Tell yourself you're going to change and make that statement clear to you. You look at yourself, look in your eyes, look in your soul, look in your heart, and know that you've got that ability to make the change that you need and stay with it. And you may have said, I've tried 6, 7, 8, 10, 30 times and I have failed. No, you did not fail. You just got better at trying. Now just start doing it. Wake up. Wake up. And don't allow the value that you can possibly bring to this earth gets unused or wasted. You owe it to everybody to bring your greatness forward. Wake up to that reality. Do we have any emails?
We do have some emails. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Barrington Awaken with your host, Barrington. And our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. And Beatrice did that. Let's see. The world that we go to after we die is spiritual. Then wouldn't that be a heaven or hell? That's from Beatrice. Mikkel, I believe the name is Mikkel, says, I know you didn't want to talk about the third eye today, but that is a very, very, very interesting topic. I try to read things about that online, but I don't quite understand it. Boy, will that be a show when you do that. That's from Mikkel, I believe. Adam wrote in, said he is a new listener from Washington, D.C. I heard about you from a friend of mine at my church. That's from Adam. Thank you, Adam. And Tommy wrote in and said, I love the analogies, Barrington. You always make things simple to understand, and sometimes you use a funny pun to get the point across. That's from Tommy, and back to you.
Thank you very much for that, Tommy. I do get a lot of comments, if you listen to my show from time to time, about people and my analogies and my humor. It has to be relatable. I realized my entire life, from as far back as I can remember, I'm teaching things to people on sometimes, if an apprentice or art martial arts or whatever it is that I was teaching at that moment, I have to be able to get the message to them for the teaching to be effective. Other than that, I'm just waving my arms and, you know, people think I'm crazy. But if you're not able to relate to what's being told to you, then my time has been wasted. I always say, when the students are ready, the teachers will appear. Or when the teacher is ready, the students are already there. Some to that effect. But yes, the analogy has to be effective and you need to be able to understand it. And if it's by a little bit of humor, then by all means, let it work. And you'll remember it and hopefully pass it on. Thank you very much for that. Oh, new listener. Thank you from Washington, D.C. I hope you're appreciating, loving the show. I hope you understand that we're here to wake you up to a higher level of consciousness. I say that quite often because that is the truth and that's the intent. And the truth about all of life, eventually we all find that out somewhere along the journey. You just come to a aha moment. Let's hope it's not the last minute where you do a testimonial of your life when it's just coming to an end. The truth is what we need to find, and this is what we talk about. Thank you for joining the show. I hope you stick around and as well as pass it on to others. It's interesting that you heard it from a member of your church, and a lot of people has accused me on this show of being anti-church or religion, and it's not the case. I think every man should do what they want to do as long as they're not trying to hurt another person. And without the intent of holding them down, you have no other, sorry, without the intent of raising them up, you should not be looking at them or looking down at them. And that's what we talk about. So I find it kind of, I didn't know anyone, I don't know what they said to you, but I don't know anyone from church would support my argument, because I generally say the greatness that exists in you exists in every single man that walks the planet, woman and child equally. So if you have greatness, I don't think any one of us need to get into any sort of group to be told how great you are. I could show you where the greatness is. Get a mirror, look in it, look in the eyes. That's where it is. Every single thing that you have that is fantastic and great is within you. We just have to learn to look within. We're talking about waking up and coming to that realization. Look within. You've come with a full menu or full instructions or tutorial or whatever it may take to get you from where you stand right now and the desire to get you to where you want to be. The greatness is within you. We're all the GOAT, if you want to call it, the greatest of all time. That's what that phrase means, the greatest of all time. So your greatness is within you. We don't need to get to a church or a box or a group to discuss it. If we were all tapped into a spiritual existence and we all saw things the same way, we could know exactly what the fellow man on the street approaching you is intending to do, and is to be friendly and kind and move on and not take, steal, or judge you. Wake up. That's what we talk about. Thank you for joining the show. I hope everything is fine. Mikkel, okay, so the third eye, and we're not going to do that because it'll take a whole show or five to explain the third eye. But in the physicality, the third eye exists in the midst of the middle of the forehead between the two that you know that you should have there already. We're not Cyclops. If you could think of Cyclops, the third eye would be where his one is. And the idea of the third eye, it's not a physical eye that's going to pop up on your head. So there's three when we look at each other, but it's called an intuitive connection with all there is, all the universe. An intuitive connection is what the third eye is considered to be. And you're not seeing anything physical, but you can actually see things that exist that other people are not able to see. And that's why it's referred to as the third eye. We do have it. In order for you to open it, access it, you need to get into a spiritual existence and you tap into your soul, into your life, into your everything. And you're able to see through the third, with the third eye, not through, with the third eye. Now, I'm going to say this and then somebody's going to ask about it. But when we talk about the chakra and that exists in the body from the root of your groin all the way up to the top of your head was number six, is going to be there in your groin area, your stomach, belly button area, your chest area, your throat, and so on. And up then the sixth one will be on the top of the head. Now, the third eye would be considered that one because that's what delivers the message into the universe. If you can imagine a plug-in that exists and it comes, the source that would come to you would come through that into your mind, into your body, into your existence, into your reality. Now, experts have said the crown of the head, when the baby is being formed, the crown of the head is the part where the bones come together. There's a very soft spot there. That's, they say, that's where the spirit enters into the body. I don't want to sell that because I haven't really done that research, but it does make sense. That's the last part of the body that will seal up. And the entry, the spiritual entry into the body enters through that cavity, through that point in the head. Some call it the pineal gland. Wow, we're not going to talk about the third eye because it just goes on. The third eye is that connection to all that there is, and we're going to leave that alone. Thank you for asking about it. Yes, we will do a show on it, and I will broadcast it because it's quite fascinating. If you are interested in the pineal gland, the third eye, the chakras, there's tons of information on it, about them, on the on YouTube, internet, somewhere, and it'll explain all of what sort of makes us work in the internet system for our body, you know, the Wi-Fi for our body, kind of that sort of connection through the spiritual guide that comes to you. It taps into the body, or the connection, or the plug-in, or the Wi-Fi connection, if you want to call it that. Please don't quote me on that because that's not what it is. I'm just trying to give you a comparable. That when you're spiritually connected, you're sort of connected to the Wi-Fi of our existence, if you want to call it that. And all information is available when you tap into the internet on your computer. Pretty much the same information, all that is available to you when you tap into your spiritual existence. Thank God we're not talking about the third eye today. You got me going on that one. I hope that's enough for you for now. And yes, we will do a show on that one day. Okay, Beatrice, you were asking about your spiritual existence. And is that heaven? Where the spiritual exists is heaven. Now, heaven is where you want it to be. It's a state of mind. And you could be, believe it or not, if I'm incarcerated in jail, I could still be in heaven because my mind is connected to all things that are great. My body is restricted. Sucks for it to be there. However, it's a state of mind. So does it exist over there? Well, I'm not totally convinced that any physicality exists over there. When I say over there, I'm referring to the spiritual world. Okay, so your heaven is a state of mind. And the other place that they call opposite of heaven is also your state of mind. It was told to you what it should be. And I suppose a lot of us imagine what it is. But none of us could say, oh, there it is. Ooh, there it is, right there. I could see it. Because it exists within you. The state of mind does exist within you. And it's going to good. If it's good, you'll call it heaven. If it's not good, you say, oh my God, I'm in hell. Which is an oxymoron. Anyway, you would say that, wouldn't you? But it's a state of mind. So for your question, you asked me, isn't the spiritual world a heavenly place? I think if you want it to be, all of our existence could be a heavenly place. But what I do say quite often is after you leave this body, this planet, there isn't another place where you show up looking like you look right now, get a new body and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. That does not live anywhere. And it's ironic because we don't die. We just change our, it's like changing your clothes. You just change your body. You go back into the spiritual world and you live that life. I hope I explained that to you properly. And I hope it makes a lot of sense to everybody that the heaven that we seek is within us. And so is that hell place, a double hockey stick place. Apparently, I'm not allowed to say hell because it's bad. So I'll restrain myself from saying hell because some people are offended by it. So you'll probably never hear me say hell. Whoops. Okay, so let's move on. And we're going to talk about this. I am proud of me. This is what we want to talk about today. We want to get you to that state of mind or that state where you're supposed to be and live the life to your fullest. A lot of people don't agree with the methods in which some people choose to live their life. And they are trying desperately to convince them to give up on their way and to take our path. And this is the right way. No, right is relevance to a lot of opinion. If you saw something that you agree with, you would consider it right. And when you don't agree with it, you consider it wrong. Well, is it only wrong because you don't agree? Or is it right because you simply agree? Or is it just not relevant? It's how you choose. Right and wrong often is relevance to your opinion. You know, everybody says murder is wrong or to kill a man is wrong. Yes, but what if that man was trying to kill you? Is it still wrong? And I've told this story many times about the lion and the zebra and how the lion will eat the zebra to feed his family. And he's done everything right. And the zebra's family will say, no, he didn't. He ate my uncle. He did everything wrong. It is only relevance to opinion. And if you think it's right, make sure it's everybody else around you agrees with you because we want to be kind and be tolerant to everybody and be mindful. And I said this last week, and I have to repeat it again. Be mindful that every act of cruelty is a direct result of insecurity. All your acts of cruelty is a direct result of insecurity, and other people will know that. So as you're pretending or acting as if you're not, you are doing something cruel. You're showing them that you are. So, all the acts of cruelty is a direct result of your insecurity. Now, we were talking about fear, and we want to talk about that because we spend a lot of our time reacting or being limited by the things that we're most afraid of. And when you really, really sit down and think about the things, you know, let's all jump back, if you can, 20 years ago and try to remember the things that fear that you were so afraid of and where you are today or 30 years ago, if you can. Some of us could even go back 40 or more years. But the point being is that you're going to look at the things that was frightening you or difficult for you to grab. You're talking about, you know, trying to raise your children all by yourself and do a good job and not screw up or keep your job or look important in the community, whatever it was that you were so concerned with many years ago. See, do you still have the same concerns, or did you not realize that it's a small stuff and you're not worth it? It's not worth your mind space to be thinking or to be worried or stressing yourself about things that will never materialize. The things that we were so afraid of would never materialize. You're in high school, you're afraid you may not meet that girl or that guy or pass, you know, to get your grades. You're wasting a lot of time. And I think if you put an effort into trying to not be fearful, look at what's frightening you and work on it. Like just attack the fear and live the life as if you weren't afraid, because you're not supposed to be. This is why we talk about waking up. You need to live as if tomorrow will never come, and live now. Live right now. Because as we well know, there's always going to be a tomorrow. But the existence of now is all you need to focus on. Your attention, everything about you should be relative to the now in your life. Focus on the now. People will respect you a lot more if you don't compare. You don't compare or judge. You'll be well respected. And you will see a different path for yourself, because you don't want to compare. It's easy. It's hard to start because you're unfamiliar. But the path or the walk or the journey is very, very easy. Very easy. Being fearful to take a step towards success, to accomplish, to release your greatness, is probably intimidating, because you're afraid you may not succeed. But the many times that you've tried and you may have not, it's practicing for the real event, for the doing. When you're ready to do it, that's the main event. That's the big cheese. And remember, if you choose to give up, you're letting yourself further down. And the more times you give up, the next one after that will be easier. It's like walking down the stairs. Every step is closer to the bottom. Every step is closer to the bottom. Every single step is closer to the bottom. So you have to walk it, not allow yourself to take the journey on the way down, and eventually make a decision in your mind to do the turnaround. Do your turnaround. I like the question we had earlier about the heaven and the other place of heaven that I brought into the question. But you have to understand that at any given time, you have the ability within yourself to make that connection, to make that point. But you have to wake up. And in order to wake up, you have to realize that you're asleep. Until you acknowledge that you're fast asleep, you're missing something, waking up won't happen. A lot of us are very afraid of the unknown. And we're so afraid of it that we don't even want to challenge it. We just accept it for what it is. When we wake up and realize it's a small little thing that's restricting the entire time that you're here, now you won't be upset. You'll be relieved that you're actually, you know now. But to wake up is the idea, to accept the life that you chose for yourself, that is designed for you, by you. We've come from that big old wave and you're part of it, much like an ice cube is a part of a bucket of water if you freeze it. So you've changed its physical you change it from the liquid to the solid, or from the spiritual existence to the human body, it's still the same, just a different form. And once you decide to utilize it to the best of your ability, you'll have a fantastic life. Remove the fear and not allow it to be your guide. You need to find yourself. And in order to do that, you have to make that spiritual connection to find yourself. Once you find yourself, you'll know who you are, know thyself. And that's our general quest, is to find ourselves. Where's this information on how to find me? You can't Google you. You can, but another, you know, physical. Anyway, you can't Google yourself. You have to dig within. They haven't figured out yet how to wake us up. But you have to go within to find who you are, to know thyself, find and understand your purpose. I wish there was a button we could press. But where we are today, and will they ever come up with the technology to do that? That would be fantastic. But in the meantime, you have to open yourself to all that there is, to the world. We do this now at this stage through meditation. That's where we talk about the chakras and the third eye, and doing physical yoga and the connection, the connectivity and the breathing and the whole nine yards that brings you back into connectivity with all of nature, all that there is, the great wave of life. But you have to find yourself, and then in doing so, you will know yourself. And then in knowing all that, you'll know how to conduct and live accordingly. And most of the things that we so desire now, we don't have. We have no need for them. We have no need or no desire. And we take on the things we're taught to compare and to judge and to race and to do all these things. That's not what it is supposed to be. If you want to play a ball, you want to play a game of basketball, for example, you perfect it and be good at it. People come and watch you play. But that's not what you were designed for, right? Same thing going driving a car or fishing and catching a very big fish and all these things. We like it, so we do it, and other people admire us for doing it. They're doing something different. Wake up. Wake up. You will see that your path in life could be very different than the one somebody has chosen for you, or one you may have chosen a very long time. If you want to talk about the terms of God, I hear people say when you make plans for your life, God will laugh because he has other plans for you. And it's probably true. And you probably thought, for all means, intents, and purposes, you're supposed to be a ballet dancer. So you tried doing it. And then you realize that's not really who you are. You're supposed to be, I don't know, a truck driver, you know, or a dentist. Because you will change your mind, and as you journey through life, you'll see other things that is more appealing to you, and you will move towards it, or it moves towards you, or you find yourself in a circle that is more satisfying or more comforting to you. You know, the guys in the back of the factory, they're not having less fun than the one that's on the soccer field. They're not. You're having a different kind of fun, or the difference. But you may look at it and cast judgment on it, and to think the guys over here in the left field are fantastic, and the guys over there in the ditch or in the top of the tree chopping it down, or they're not having as much fun. No, it's the same life. Same life. You can't tell me the water in the North Lake is better than the water in the Southern Lakes. It's water. It's just in a different location, doing different things, but the functionality becomes the same. Is a gold ring any better than a diamond, than an earring, a gold ring on your finger? Is it any better than a toe ring or a belly button ring? They're all gold, or a tooth. It's all gold. It's gold. It's just in different form. And you could take it from a necklace and make it into a ring, and it's still gold. Or take it from the ring and make it into a pen. It is still gold. The consistency of it stays the same. The same as human beings. We're all the same, depending on where we live. It stays consistent. We just change our form, our ideas, maybe our cultures. All the same. Same place. Gold is gold. And in saying that, you are gold. Do we have anything else there, sir?
Oh, let's see what we have. Sarah wrote in and she said, Barrington, I know you don't really believe in a lot in the Bible, but there's two things. Murder is different than killing. Thou shalt not murder is a good way to live, but killing is different. There's nothing in the Bible or what I believe in that says you can't kill someone in self-defense, etc. That is different than murder. That's from Sarah. Let's see. Clark says, so when we die, we go through a body change? In what way? From female to male, male to female? What way? That's Clark. Denise said, wow, even what you talked about with the third eye, that is so interesting. I can't wait for the show on that. That's from Denise. And this is funny. Lastly, Chantel says, hell. There, I said it for you, Barrington. And back to you.
Thank you. Chantel, thank you. That was, I'm not afraid to say the word hell. You know, we were growing up and we weren't allowed to use that word. I don't know why, but it was bad. It had blasphemy in it or something, but we weren't allowed to say it. I don't know. I guess we weren't allowed to say a lot of words when we were young and, you know, you kind of go through life. But I don't know if anybody is offended of hearing that word hell, because it does, the word exists. The place, we haven't found it yet. We're still searching. I personally don't think it's out there anywhere. It's in your mind, but we're not going to do that. Thank you very much, Chantel, for that. It is a good little laughter. And she said it, folks. It wasn't me. So if there's anything bad coming back from that, you better watch out. Denise, that was a joke. Denise, thank you very much. And the third eye topic, again, I'm not going to go into it because there's so much about it. It's so on and so rich and so many people wants to get into it. But yeah, I will do a show about the third eye. And it's hard to tell a lot of people new information that is different from what they're familiar with. Like if you were to go out there today and try to convince society, everybody should be walking backwards. Turn your head around and walk backwards and they will just think you're crazy. And but if they practice it and it's more practical and it's more feasible than the walking we've done, then we'll realize that it's not so crazy. We just have to experience it. Bad example, but my point being is that when you hear something that is completely different than what you were told, especially by the ancestors, which ancestry stuff is just what I call peer pressure from past dead people. But anyway, I'm just saying that when you hear something in your entire life and you believed it at age one up until age, I think they say it's 39, it has become a fixture in your life, and changing it is not going to be that easy. So we tell people, if you were raised with this particular idea, this particular way, and the belief system that was given to you, maybe by your parents, 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 great, 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 great grandparents, and way back in some cases forever, but if you believe that to be the absolute truth, it's going to be really hard to change that. But what you can do, you don't have to change it. You could open the idea of spiritual connection where you follow what you already know, what they call the gut feelings, how to live well, live successful, live happy. The more you practice that way of life, the more it'll explain to you how all of life is supposed to be. I've had calls here, emails here before, says, how do you let go of that idea to adapt into something new? Well, it's not new. It's just wasn't talked about. You didn't know, you didn't learn trigonometry in grade six. A lot of people probably never learned trigonometry. But my point being, as you graduate through life, as you evolve through life, you have the mental capacity and the space in your brain to open up and experience more that exists. The reasons we don't have 12-year-olds flying airplanes is because we don't think they're mature and responsible enough to retain all the information that is required to get you from point A to point B in an airplane. So let's, you know, put you through some really, really hard training and bring you to understanding that. The same reason birds aren't flying airplanes, because they don't have the mental capacity to hold all that information. Why am I saying all this? You were told something a long time ago, and you hold that as truth. Can you prove it? And the others have said to me, can you prove what you're saying? Absolutely. Open your eyes and meditate. Take that lid off the jar and allow all of your existence to open up and flow into the world and connect to all that there is. Every other living creature other than the human beings have their instinctive connection with their existence, their creator, as do we have our own connectivity to our creator. We've just been told or been led into other directions where we've walked away from all that was supposed to be the methods in which we guide ourselves through our journey through life. Can you prove it? Yeah. Meditate and open yourself up and expose all that there is. It's not demonic or blaspheming. It's just educating yourself and allowing the ideas that others have told you to prove themselves or equally disprove themselves. Connect yourself to a spiritual path in life and you will have your proof. Not mine, not John, Tom, Dick, or Harry's, but yours, or Susan or Jane, but yours. The ideas come to you. You may have been told by whoever was giving you the other ideas, the ideology of how life should be, that this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing it. Well, if you're on planet Earth and you're walking around under the sun, under the stars and all these things, you were placed here. You chose to be here. How is it wrong? We could go on to that one forever. Clark wanted to ask about when we leave this form. Do we go into a body change? And does the body change? No, it doesn't change. The body never leaves this planet. It's made up of 80% water. 85% water somewhere there, and 15% of dust. And when you're finished using it, it goes back where it belongs. If you burn it, it goes up in the air and eventually falls back to the ground. It stays here. You can't leave. You can't journey past here. So the body doesn't change. You don't have a body. You know, when you go to the ocean and use a cup and you pick up some water, the water temporarily have a shape of the cup. But if you pour it out, it doesn't have that shape anymore. If you put in your hand, it has the shape of your hand, or you know, the scoop form you make of a hand or a spoon or a jug or a bucket or a tub. It will temporarily hold that space until you release it. Then it goes into a tube and goes back to its original source. If imagine your spiritual existence being the very same. There's no body. Nobody. Well, it's time to break out into a song. Anyways, that's a long story. So I hope you get that, and I hope you understand that change. Now, Sarah, yes, you're explaining to us the difference between murder and killing and what the Bible says and so on and so forth. And I could go on for forever. Yeah, well, the person's still dead, right? And in your intent and your act or whatever it is, I think, would be how you determine whether or not it was murder or killing. Well, the person, like, you know, if somebody attacks you and you take them out, you could call it what you want. You go to court and you have to prove to them that it was self-defense or yada, yada. But that person is still in the ground when he's dead. When you're trying to explain your intention or you lack of intent or you're planning or murder one, you know, he's still dead. So I don't know. Killing somebody, it depends. If you're attacking me, and I know you're coming to get me, I'm going to have to do what I have to do to protect me. And I think everybody is of the same mindset. Some teachings told you to forget about it. Turn the other cheek. Well, I'm not going to do that. You have the right to protect yourself. And that's why you're here. Anyway, I don't clearly understand what you're saying about the murder and the killing, because I still see them as 6 feet under or in an oven. Pardon the expression. Thank you. And we're going to move on. From that, I respect everybody sending out their two cents and their beliefs and the killing and the whole nine yards. It's fantastic that we have the ability to choose the path of life that we want to walk. Now, do we have the right to take somebody else's life? I think that is wrong at every level. We don't have that influence on anyone. Do I think the justice system has the right to do that? Well, they have a job as a society to protect other people in the society. So if you're deemed as problematic, I don't know that if they should, you know, lock you up and put you away forever. I don't agree with the idea of capital punishment. I think by the time they get to that stage of where it's going to happen, you've already been punished enough, you know, because all you've been thinking from the moment you're locked up until the moment that you're put to death is how you're going to die. So I think the punishment's good enough. But that's my opinion. I'm not trying to sell it to anybody. And you will inevitably have your own. This is my belief. I don't see how taking one eye is going to justify taking somebody else's eye. I don't get any of that. I think we need to come up with a system to take people off edge so they're not as reactive and they're not exposed to political unjust poverty and oppression or suicide or whatever the case may be that cause people to go off the edge and take other lives. I think we need to address that system. And if there was such a thing as a correctional system, I would be all for it. I don't see how this system is correcting anybody, because I've heard many stories. If you go in like a bunny and you come out the ferocious killer or the ferocious wolf or something else, you get educated because it's like going to school and you're among many other people with many different ideas and you come out rougher, harder, tougher, more geared towards taking care of that environment or being more lucrative or productive in that environment. So I don't know if the correctional system is correcting anything. I don't know enough about it. I'm not trying to sell it. Please don't accuse me of anything. I'm not trying to sell anything. I'm just giving my opinion. Let's talk about spirituality, though. We've got a few minutes left, and this is what we do. I'm thinking that you need to open up and wake up and see the best life that you could live. Okay? Just see the best life as you could live. And this is what we're trying to say. How do you get into this form of greatness? You tap into the source of knowing, teaching you how to find yourself. Many of our callers are people who refer to me. They talk about me not knowing the Bible and not having an opinion on the Bible. I spent the first 40 years of my life, actually born in it. So let's say all my life, learning, studying, reading, practicing, hearing it. And I realize, and I've read the bigger Bibles all of my life to this day. And do I sell it? No, I don't. Do I realize that they're all saying the same thing? To thine own self be true. Yes. Are they speaking the same language? Absolutely. Nobody's listening to the other one, which is kind of funny, but they're all saying the very same thing. And then if you live well and take care of yourself and be humble and respect all this rule, you will go to a fantastic place. And if you don't, you'll go to that word that we're not allowed to say, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. It has two L's. Anyway, my point being is that you have the right to choose how you want to live. And what we have the right to do, and I do understand a lot about the Bibles, they're all saying the same thing. All saying the same thing. Whether you can wear your head covered up or your eyes exposed or dress above your knees or, you know, wrapped in it. I don't know. But they're all saying the same thing. Be good. Follow these rules and you will get rewarded. I don't know that I would sit around my entire life to wait for my reward to come at the end. I say, get your reward now. Wake up. Wake up and realize that this is the life. The train doesn't stop. The conveyor belt is forever running. And the lies that we've told ourselves in our early ages, 20, 30s, whatnot, that we're going to enjoy and be fantastic and live the best life possible when we retire, that is a lie. I've got a minute left and I didn't talk about the book. It's called Awaken Ascension Guide. It aligns you to your true purpose in life. You could pick that up at Amazon. You can always reach us here at HEAMI, BarringtonAwaken.com. That's where you can find us all the time. That's our email. As well as if you had any questions and you've heard those today, you can join us anytime. Send them out. I answer your questions to the best of my abilities. And this show is also being repeated on another date on Thursday nights at 10 o'clock. Wow, I nailed that one. So thank you very much for being a part of the show. In our last minute, I'm going to remind you that you are awesome and you need to know that about yourself. You don't need for me to tell you. Another person's opinion is not your business. Be willing to stand up and be proud and say to yourself at every step of the way, I am proud of me. Hurt yourself, patting yourself on the back, because that's deserving. Don't sell it. Just do it for you. Walk around with that air of arrogance because you deserve it. And it's not another person's opinion. It is how you see yourself because you've woken up. Thank you. I appreciate you being there. Until we meet again, namaste.
for listening to Barrington Awaken with your host, Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101.